The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
And welcome back to Generations Radio. It is Saturday and Sunday. We'll be listening about this week regarding long-term care. And it's a special interview regarding the long-term care bill that's been going on in the legislature. Senate Bill 248 and House Bill 185. And it's about long-term care in Hawaii. And today we have our two special guests, Clementina Seria Ulep, a professor of nursing and the chair of the Department of Nursing at University of Hawaii, and Patrick Sukimura, a volunteer for the FACE.
Yes. Okay.
Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us and the opportunity to talk about this very important issue.
Yeah, so I heard about this bill from Senator Ross Baker a while ago, almost 2 years ago now.
Yeah, it was actually heard at the legislative session in 2015.
Mm-hmm. And now it's 2016.
Right.
And you guys are out and about at the Capitol, and it's a long-term care bill really to help our families, you know, mm-hmm. because of your nursing background and with FACE background, it's really mm-hmm. about our community. And why caregiving is such a big issue. But first of all, Clementina, could you tell our audience a little bit about your background and how you're involved with the long-term care bill?
So I graduated from the University of Hawaii at Manoa in 1982 with a baccalaureate in nursing, then later on with a master's in nursing administration in 1988, then with a PhD in nursing administration from Virginia Commonwealth University. So I've been very much aware of this issue as a nurse, as well as a friend, a daughter, a neighbor. So the population, I'm sure you're very aware, Percy, because this is your area, but people may not know that every 8 seconds, someone is turning in the United States 65 years old. That's 10,000 a day, 4 million a year. Right. And in Hawaii, we have the longest living people in the world because you have the Japanese who tend to live long. And most people live 82 years old here in Hawaii. So, however,
at least.
There's a lot of centenarians, actually, yes. About 500 centenarian in Hawaii. So as people age, however, although they live longer, they tend to have chronic diseases, and at a certain point, they need care. So when someone cannot bathe on their own or feed themselves, they need someone to help them.
Right.
So this is something that this bill would be addressing.
Yeah, long-term care bill we're talking about today with Clementina Seria Ulep, you're chief of the Department of Nursing at University of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Our other guest here is Patrick Sukimura with a nonprofit organization, FACE. And welcome to the show, Patrick. Give our listeners a little bit of your background as well.
Well, currently I'm retired. I retired from FACE actually as their lead organizer on Oahu in 2012. And I did tell them when I retired that should this long-term care issue come back again, I would come back and volunteer and do some work. So this year I'm their president for FACE for their Oahu chapter. And surely the issue has come up again, and we hope we can get good legislation passed. Long-term care has been an issue with FACE since its inception in 1996.
Really? FACE has been around since 1996?
Yes. And our issues come from our grassroots, our congregations that are, we're an interfaith, nonprofit community organization. And the issues come from the grassroots. And back then, the people said long-term care was a big, big concern. And we worked over these many years to try to get some legislation passed. And we worked with the Family Hope Program, the Care Plus Program, and now with, you know, this program that's coming up in this session.
So FACE is a statewide organization?
It is a statewide organization. We have a chapter on Oahu, and in 2005, we opened up a chapter on Maui.
Okay. And FACE stands for?
Faith Action for Community Equity.
Okay, great. Yeah, I've been involved with caregiving, long-term care, since about 2004. So I'm glad to hear you guys started a lot earlier than me. But the issue is still here.
Right.
Isn't that true?
Yes. And I think it's for some of us who deal with it day in, day out, like when I was doing bedside nurse and seeing people not able to go home because no one can care for them at home. Our people, our family caregivers can't change their work schedule to afford the time to care. We actually have a bottleneck at our local hospitals right now because there's not enough long-term care, or people cannot afford to bring their parents home because they can't change their schedule. So until people really get caught up in it, they're not aware of how bad it can be. Like about a few months ago, our neighbor, whose father came to our adult daycare center when we had it, and unfortunately passed away, well, the mom... condition deteriorated and ended up in rehab. And then he got a call and was told that in a few weeks she's going to come home and we'll need 24/7. And he doesn't have the money to have someone else do that. And so the alternate is to get an adult daycare going for the mom, but he doesn't have money. He doesn't have $66 a day to care for that. So what is he going to do, right?
Right.
That's the kind of situation. I have... my husband is helping a family right now care for their mom who has the beginning of Alzheimer's. And the house is practically falling apart, but they can't even fix their roof, their sinks, their bathroom, because all of it is going to the 20 to 25 per hour caregiving.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been talking about long-term care and caregiving for many, many years. Mm-hmm. You've heard the term silent tsunami.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've been saying that for over 10 years.
Right.
Yeah, silver tsunami, and all your figures are correct. We lived longer than anybody else. Mm-hmm. We're actually pretty healthier than most people, and we're a family state, and it's just an issue that, you know, that we've been talking about for a while. In about 2007, I believe, they came out with a documentary called The Graying of Hawaii. I'm sure you've probably seen it, and that's almost 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's still in the same area of need, same area of concern. Mm-hmm. And like I said, fortunately for us, we're a family state, so family will try and do whatever they can do, but it's really, really important. So Senator Roz Baker, was she the one that championed the first time out?
Yes.
This bill?
She introduced Senate Bill 727, which is the precursor to Senate Bill 2478. So she introduced it last year.
And so 2016, she's back again.
Exactly.
So for our listeners out there that may be tuning in either on our website or archive site, I mean, our show, give their audience an idea of what this bill is about, because it may be a shocker to some. For some others, I think it's much needed. But give our audience here an idea of how the bill works in a basic form.
Okay, so this bill would provide $70 a day if someone needs, as I said, assistance of activities of daily living. So there are five activities of daily living, like, as I said earlier, bathing, eating, walking. So those are the types. So if at least someone needs two assistance for two of those things, then they're eligible. Or they have cognitive deficit, they call it. Someone who has Alzheimer's, memory deficit, would be eligible for that. So $70 a day, up to 365 days altogether. You don't have to use it all at once. So if you only use it 2 days a week, you'll be able to stretch it much longer, right? And you have to have filed income tax up to 10 years to have that full benefit of $70. But if you have not paid or filed your tax for 10 years, you'll get a portion according to the number of years that we've
filled. Right, trying to get people to be in Hawaii for 10 years.
Exactly, yeah. So people who are not filing tax in Hawaii would not be eligible for it. So we would prevent someone from just coming in and then taking advantage of the program and leaving again. Yeah.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Now, I heard about this bill sometime late 2014. I'll be honest with you. We heard it at the Kupuna Caucus. And when it first came out, we all looked at each other like, this bill is very similar to the ARP bill, National Campaign for, I think it was a CLASS Act.
CARE Act.
Class Act was done in 2012, I believe, or 11. Mm-hmm. Very similar, but it paid $100 a day.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nationwide program. The difference is it was optional.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent about a year getting this program going, figuring all the demographics and numbers. And within 3 months after it was brought out to some co-conveners, it was shot down immediately because the numbers didn't work. It could not be optional.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad the state of Hawaii and Senator Ross Baker is looking at this. So you're in a session now. We have a partner besides FACE. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Your partner is a nationwide organization. Is that correct, Patrick? Carrying across generations?
Yes, it is. And we were very fortunate. Ai-Jin Poo was here last year a couple of times, and she also wrote a book that shows what all the caregivers have to go through. So I think this has generated some momentum, and I think also more people are getting to be aware of the crisis or the silver tsunami that's coming if it's not already here. So I think the momentum is there, and we just need to keep pushing some of our legislators. And this is where the public comes in. The more we get the public to be aware of the situation, and like Clem said, the number of people who are aging and coming, and we're all coming into that position now, will need care. So we need to come up with a program. And this may not solve everything, but it's a start. And this actually targets it, because what we found out too is that more people want to be cared for at home. They don't want to be in an institution. And they've done studies that people actually do better at home, in home. So this program would try to provide some assistance to keep the older people at home. I think the good thing too is that, right, like Clem mentioned, it's hard to get good care. And this will provide a funds so that people can, and it'll also generate jobs for people to be good caregivers. So we're hoping this aspects, and of course, I'm not sure if we already mentioned this, that the funding for this will come from a 0.5% tax on the, added to the general excise tax. And everybody pays for this, so everybody can benefit if they file their tax return.
Mm-hmm.
The other good part about is that at least 25% of the GET is paid for by our tourist industry, tourist people coming in who will not qualify for the benefit.
Yeah, you mentioned Ai-Jin Poo, who was here last year. I met her. And is she part of Caring Across Generations?
She's one of the co-founder for...
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she came and talked about the need of the issues of caregiving.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she cared for her grandmother.
Yes. She's actually... her personal story is that her grandfather, they could not take care of him at home, so he was placed in a long-term care facility. Whereas the grandmother and I think that was the grandfather on the father's side. The grandmother on the mother's side, however, had a caregiver who came in daily, and she was able to stay at home. And the grandfather, whenever she would visit, she said he would beg her to take him home. And his quality of life was really poor, and he died like in 2 years' time. But
right.
The grandmother on the mom's side to this day is still alive because she has someone coming every day. She's able to stay at home and enjoy being at home. So I think it does make a lot of difference when people are able to stay at home. The quality of life is much better. I mean, how many times have I visited a family friend or even my own family when placed in a care home and they beg you to take them home because they can't stand being there?
Well, I can't stand being there because the food is junk.
Yeah,
I'm not downing
long-term care at all,
yeah.
But then the isolation and the loneliness is incredible.
Yeah. We did a story. Our cover story was baby boomers and the sandwich generation in our June, July issue of last year, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And we had three families talking about that and how they were caring for the children, but also caring for the parents. And they all were at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. I mean, we've been talking about this for years. And so at some point, hopefully, FACE, your organization, Patrick, and Caring Across Generations helps. And I think the push needs to be coming, and keep on coming until we get this thing done.
Exactly.
But are there any other states with a bill like this?
No, we're actually, we would be the number one. We'd be the trendsetter for the nation. And that's because, as Pat had said earlier, we've done the most research on this issue, about 25 to 30 years. Dr. Larry Nitz, who's a professor of economics from the UH, have been doing research on this, and he made a report to the legislature in 2014. This was actually a recommendation by the Commission on Long-Term Care to provide such a program, and this is what this bill is addressing.
And so a lot of people, I know through studies, found out that Medicare doesn't pay for long-term care.
It does not. It pays for actually 120 days of skilled nursing facility if you have some kind of skill, like if you need someone to feed you or do your dressing and things like that. So it does not pay for in-home care that this would.
But even at Medicare plan, doesn't pay if you don't improve your if you don't get rehabilitation.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why people don't know that. I had a family relative in one of the facilities here, and they had a stroke, and they couldn't eat, and they were my relative didn't want to get better. They're very depressed, obviously, from a stroke, and they didn't improve. So the facility said, you have to move out.
Exactly.
Because Medicare won't pay for you if you don't get better.
And beyond 120 days, there's no way about it. Whether you're good or not, you got to go.
But it could end earlier, which in their case, it did.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Because they didn't get better. They're very depressed. And I said, of course they're going to be depressed.
Exactly.
But they've got to have some improvement in their skills or being able to take care of themselves. So, Patrick, you brought up something good. I mean, great. However, the big thing when I first saw this was that it's going to be mandatory. Well, I wouldn't say mandatory, but everybody's got to pay into this fund, and it's through the GET. Because originally this plan was through your payroll tax or was it through the tax returns, right?
Yeah.
But now it's through a 0.5% GET. And so when this first came out, and your hearing, did you have your hearings already?
Yeah, right.
And how did it go over with the politicians?
It actually went pretty good. The Commerce, Consumer and Protection and Health, I guess it's because it's led by Dr. Russ Baker, and she's really, you know, for it. And she's pretty much convinced, I think, the members. And they asked very good questions of those who provided testimony, and I think they felt that their questions were answered. Oh. So, and we had about over 40 people who sent in testimony. And I think I could probably count on one hand the number of those who opposed it, and the rest were all for it. So I think they those convinced the people who were at the hearing.
You know, I've talked to a lot of politicians about this on a side, off the record, and I think I would guesstimate about a third of them, the politicians in the Senate, have older parents, and they're taking care of them in some form or fashion.
Senator Kouchi, who is the president, Senate president, he's taking care of his mom and the father-in-law. And he says, yes, I know exactly firsthand how difficult it is to be a caregiver.
And mom, is he for the bill?
He's for the bill, yeah.
Okay.
And Tokioka, right, is also for the bill. He's one of our representatives from the Finance Committee. He's very
so about how about on the House side? Have you kind of checked with the House side? Have you done a poll or survey of who's, who's?
We've actually gone talking to most of them, right? And jar my memory, Pat. So we talked to Ty Cullen, and he's pretty much because he's had experience of caregiving with his grandmother. Representative Decoit from Molokai pro as well. Johansson is I think leaning towards it because he came home from Washington, D.C., you know, to take care of the grandmother. That's why he had to relocate back to Hawaii. Chris Lee sees the need for it. Romy Cachola he's part of the caucus, and it was from the Kupuna caucus. So, but he had questions that I believe Romy Cachola Dr. Nitz address, and who are the other ones that we went to see? Lo Presti, he wasn't there, and we talked to Charles, his aide, and he understood. We haven't been able to see Nishimoto, and who else are the other ones?
I think
Colin
the
Johansson, Jordan is, he doesn't quite know, Keohokala Lole, Jared. We went to see him as well, but he was not yet abreast of the bill, so he couldn't say. We met with Bert Kobayashi, right, as well, and he's inclined, but did not give a position. Yamashita, we've yet to meet with. As I said, Tokioka is for it. Feki Puha, what was, you folks met with him last week, right?
Well, he was nice, but he did not commit one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think with a lot of these politicians, you know, people, especially with politicians that have high areas of seniors, they really need to be pressed upon to
Senator Kouchi, he has the largest number.
Well, Kauai.
Yeah, in Kauai.
Senator.
Yes.
But I mean, so, you know, I just ran a real quick calculation, $70 a day for 365 days. That's over $25,550. Mm-hmm. And that can be spread out over any time, right?
Right, exactly. They don't have to use it all at once, but that's the max. And they said, is that enough? And actually, the median is about 90 days. We think that would be enough, according to the calculations. As I said, Dr. Nitz did a lot of these very thorough calculations.
Yeah, I met Dr. Nitz when I first saw this late 2014. Actually, I was against it.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason why, because I'm very aware of caregiving, and I have 1,000 senior clients personally, and $70 a day is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first impression.
Yeah.
Then I talked to a few more people, especially the long-term care insurance people, and they don't like it either.
Mm-hmm.
But $70 a day is better than nothing.
Exactly.
$70 a day for a lot of people that I'm finding now. I work with a lot of planners and financial planners and elder law attorneys that before they need care, one of the booming areas of need is adult daycare.
Exactly.
And for $70 a day, that will cover.
It will. It's here in Honolulu, the average cost of long-term care is $66 per day, actually.
Yeah.
So the $70 will more than pay for it.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's better than nothing. But yeah, I think that's the early need.
Right.
It helps the family. What I like about it is you can use as many days, up to 365 days. You don't have to use it continually.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a counting nightmare for the state if we pass this bill, but I think it's much need. But so I talked to Dr. Nix, and when I first saw the half percentage GET, I don't know if I'm good with that. Do we do any statistics on how much the pool of money is going to be brought in, things like that?
According to his calculation, we could start drawing upon it in 5 years' time. So according to the bill, we would start instituting this by January 1, 2018. We can draw upon it by 2023. It would take in about $50 million a year.
$50 million.
Mm-hmm. So that would be enough, right? So the best thing about this GE tax is that it is sustainable for that reason. It would bring in that much.
So, Patrick, I know you've done some community outreach on this bill, and have you had, what's your reaction or what the community has thought about the bill?
Yeah, we've done some panels in our congregations, especially, and informational sessions. And a lot of people didn't know the true cost of long-term care. You know, people are, you know, we did surveys also. They really don't know. So we really appreciate the legislature, I think, passed in the last session $500,000 to do a public awareness campaign. We don't know where that's at. We had hoped,
we need to find out where
we had hoped that it would have come out sooner. And the contractor told us that last year when we had our informational sessions that maybe we could use some of the material that he came up with, but we haven't seen it yet. So, but, and I think that would be really helpful for us, but because a lot of people, through our own surveys, and I think even AARP has done a lot of surveys, find that, you know, people just don't know what the cost of, you know, and then how many caregivers we actually have here in the state, you know, that
I think the number's over 250,000.
Yeah,
over that.
It's 287. It's huge, you know. So I think more and more, in other words, the density is just getting so big where it's going to matter. So people are concerned. And like you said, even among the legislators, a lot of them have personally experienced, you know, mm-hmm. this. So I think more and more. The hard part, as we talk to the legislators, you know, any kind of tax increase, it's hard. And they say, especially this year, because it's an election year. But I've been telling legislators, yeah, but if we get the public to understand and they want this, then it could be a feather in their cap. In other words, a half a cent, you know, that's going to go. And everybody will be eligible for this, right? Because everybody's paying into the GET as long as you file your income tax form for the 10 years. And if it's less than 10 years, I think it's after 5 years, they'll prorate the benefits. So instead of 70, you get $35 a day. So I think this will have traction. And I think I told your brother the other night, I said, yeah, you're going to pass this and you can put that to your constituent that you voted for this and see, now you're going to get these benefits.
Yeah, I mean, election year is election year. We get that every few years. But, I mean, it's not going to be like we're going to be instituting this bill right away, right?
Yeah, and it'll take time. And, you know, to us, it's just a concept. Those who are just discussing it, but for the people who have to deal with it day in, day out, it's painful. You know, so that same family that my husband is helping, every day he goes there and help them, or three times a week, and they're all exhausted.
Yeah,
I mean, how much more longer can they do this?
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you, I have a lot of friends and family members that have experience, firsthand experience. We're here talking about the long-term care bill in the Senate this year, in the House, Senate Bill 2478 and House Bill 1885. We're here with Clementina Seria-Ulette from the University of Hawaii Nursing Department and Patrick Sukimura from the local nonprofit FACE. We're going to take a short break. We'll come back and dive more into this bill and really see how important it is for our community. We'll be right back.
We will be right back with Percy Ihara from Generations Radio. If you have any questions or want to be part of our discussion, give us a call at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. This is Generations Radio on AM 690, The Answer.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Aloha, this is Martha Clopin.
And Al Harrington. Choosing the right Medicare plan not only saves you money, it also helps you avoid headaches and heartaches down the road.
We want to remind everyone
to listen to a Medicare moment with Martha, Sundays from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. as we help answer important questions on Medicare so you can stay healthy, wealthy, and wise all year long.
Call me at 543-2073. 543-2073.
I was an addict from the age of 13. I finally decided it was time for a change. I walked into the Salvation Army Adult Rehabilitation Center, and that got me ready for the real world. Now, I choose to be guided by Jesus Christ, and today, I'm building a powerful and promising future, free from drugs and alcohol.
Please shop at the Salvation Army Family Stores. With our discounted sales, your support through your purchase helps men live a clean, sober, and productive life.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit pointvacationshawaii.com.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Hauer from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
Welcome back to Generations Radio here. I'm Percy Ihara, the publisher of Generations Magazine and the host here of Generations Radio. We just did a recent check of our website. So if you like to go on the internet and go to our website, generations808.com. And thank you to our visitors there. Average visitor reads 19 pages per visit. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we're very proud of that. We actually are revamping, even though it's successful as we have been at our current website, thanks to Peterson Rosario, we are actually revamping our website, making it more user-friendly. You got some cool things working on that website. Our bounce rate, if anybody knows what bounce rate is, our bounce rate is below 10. It's at 8 right now. That means they're staying a long time. A lot of times they'll go to other websites where they click on, click off, look for a phone number, you know, look for a coupon, look for a sale, and they click right off, which is like about a bounce rate of about 70 or 80. Ours is way down because people stay on our site. And so thanks to our Generations partners in the magazine, I really appreciate that, all the articles and writers that we have for the magazine. But and I just found out we have 211 locations you can pick up the magazine. So When you go to our new website and coming out, it'll be debuting probably the first or second week of March. You can click on distributions, and wherever you are, living on an island, there's little cute little markers there on a map, and says where we distribute the magazine, so you can find out where you live. More so on Oahu. We still have locations on the Big Island, Maui, and Kauai, but it's a little bit more limited. But I'll tell you, one of the greatest places, the easiest places to find Generations Magazine, is at our state libraries. Every state library has copies of Generations Magazine. So ask them if they don't have them there, if they probably ran out, which they do. Ask them, can they get some more? Because that's one of the easiest places for people to get our magazine. On the Big Island KTA, as you guys know, that place runs out in about 3 weeks. So We're trying to get to do push more over there. Maui, you have a few places out there in Paia, the Kaunoa Center, and at the Office on Aging there in Kahului. But anyway, thanks for visiting our website. Continue to visit the website. Like I said, first, second week of March, we're going to have our revamped website. It'll be beautiful. And thanks to our web guy, Mark Moran, who's done a great job. So look out for that. Anyway, we're talking about the long-term care bill. For those of you that have not heard about it, you really need to pay attention, especially if you have older parents, aging parents. If you're taking care of a parent right now, because like I'm a baby boomer, and we always look to that age bracket to do all the caregiving. Mm-hmm. And when I got involved in an aging, 12 years ago, I really took a deep dive of our issues, and probably patch your like face. We knew that this is coming. We know this is going to be a social problem. In my world of the mortgage business, it's a financial problem because most of my clients don't want to go on Medicaid. And it's not a matter of if you're going to need care. It's just a matter of when. And it's really, really important to understand these issues. And I think, Clementina, you mentioned it earlier, until people actually experience or a need for a caregiver, they have no clue.
They have no clue, yeah. So we have a family friend as well whose mother was in a rehab also, and then the caregiver, the sister who was the caregiver, died. Yes. Then they called that my friend's sister and said, we're going to discharge your mom. She is going to need 24/7, and it's going to be $15,000 a month.
Yes.
And so, like you said, she sold the house of her mom because that's all that they could do.
That's the major asset they have.
So that's the problem, right? Because it really takes value from our family. Legacies that you would want to pass on from generation to generation. It's taken away, all gone, because they're using it as long-term care insurance, which should not be the case.
Well, as you know, last year, Leahi and Maluhia lost 72 beds total. Two wings were shut down, and those are all Medicaid beds. There is a small group here locally that's being going around the community to try and bring that 22 million back for those beds. But yeah, we're losing beds, and I don't think it's going to get any better.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now you might be able to find a bed here and there depending on the day.
Mm-hmm.
But 5 years from now, it's really going to be...
It's going to be bad. We don't have enough as it is. Yeah.
Yeah. According to that Grain of Hawaii documentary they did 7-8 years ago, the national average was back then was 46 beds per 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
We have less than half. We only have 22.
Right.
And I don't think that number is going to go up a whole lot with the growing population coming into the area of needing care.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So the average family, how do most people take care of their parents?
Usually, if you're fortunate to have multiple, more than one child, you go from, you share, right? Then you
what
take.
I call it tag team.
Yeah, tag team.
Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah, right.
I have Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Right, right. And then you think, well, I'm going to take mom and dad to the doctor today. It'll take me just a few hours. It ends up being a whole day, right? So then the stress gets in because you have your children to pick up and things like that. Then you start fighting amongst one another as siblings. And so it causes a lot of stress. So this bill would provide that $70 that someone could go and drive mom and dad to the doctor for their checkups or for an errand. Or if a caregiver wants 3 to 4 hours of a break, they have that $70 to give to the nurse's aide who could come over for those 3 to 4 hours and give someone relief, because the caregivers sometimes die sooner than
the
ones they're careful.
That's a phenomenon out there a lot.
Because it's exhausting, right?
Well, besides caregiving, they probably have to pay all the bills.
Yeah.
They have to do all the cooking and cleaning.
Right.
They have to do all the chauffeuring around. And so when I find, a lot of times it's the mom, when I see my friend's parents needing care, I say, who's giving the care? I say, well, my mom's caring for my dad. I say, you got to be very, very careful.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, in about three specific situations that I know of, my friends, mom passed away first.
Right.
And you cannot let that happen. And if you're listening out there and your mom is doing that, you need to give her a break.
Mm-hmm.
Find respite care if need be. But that they've got to stop that.
Right.
We're seeing more and more today.
Right, right.
Because after that main caregiver goes down, your mom goes down, guess who's in? It's next one in line.
Yeah.
And I hate to laugh about it, but it's just... We've been talking about this for 12 years, and we really, really, Patrick, would face in your organization, we really need to push this out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And another story, I have a member of my church who is now caregiving her mom. And so she had to quit her job. So, you know, she's in a prime of her life to earn her, income and also her pension and retirement and all that. And she's... You know, she can't get that too, but she's got to care for her mom. So this bill will at least be able to provide some relief. On the other hand, too, you have small businesses who have key employees.
Yep.
If they go take off and never, let's say they're the head bookkeeper or something, small business is going to hurt. So this allows the person to at least plan so that maybe won't be able to come in every day, but some days he can come in and have somebody else taking care of the person that needs the caregiving and continue to work.
Yeah, if you listen out there, if you're carrying somebody, I have a family friend that the wife approached me and said, my mom needs care, and my brother and sister said they'll pay me to take care of mom.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, that's great, but you know how hard it is. Have you done it before? It was no. It's very difficult, very stressful. And it's probably not only 8 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her that, if you do this, basically, this is not a guarantee they're going to be able to pay you for the next 5 or 10 or 15 years, depending on how long they're going to care for mom.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, that money, is that going to be taxable?
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to have any money going to Social Security, so she may not have Social Security. Because I have a client that just turned 62.
Mm-hmm.
And when I approached him about a mortgage, he said, I don't have any income. I said, everybody has Social Security. He goes, no, I don't have Social Security. I said, why not? He hasn't worked for 20 years. Who's taking care of both his mom and dad over that time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very, very sad.
Yeah.
And there's so many stories out there
Yeah, there is. We, one of our Gary Tanimitsu, right? The same thing happened. So the money that the parents had saved, they used it all for long-term care. And then he actually could not then pay for the house that remained. And he actually ended up almost foreclosing, right? As a result of it. Yeah.
So can I ask you, I know Dr. Nix from the University of Hawaii helped do the model for this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you Can you explain to myself and the listeners out there why they made it to 0.5% to GET?
Well, according to the calculation, it would be enough to bring in that $50 million a year. Yeah, that it would be sustainable.
And is that what he kind of figured, $50 million a year?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about the long-term care public awareness campaign. Hopefully, this will be out soon.
Mm-hmm.
But part of that campaign was talking about, you know, high cost of care.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to have to take care of your mom? In other words, or do you really want your children to take care of you?
Mm-hmm.
But there was also something in there about long-term care insurance.
Mm-hmm. So long-term care insurance, people think, you know, that's a viable option. Yes, it is for about 2 to 3% of our population, because it's very costly, right? So the very rich, 2 to 3% of us can. And then the very poor get the Medicaid help or supplement. However, most of us in the middle don't have that with capability because it may be affordable when you're young and you're working, but once you stop working or something catastrophic, heaven forbid, you get divorced or something like that, you start to actually have problems meeting your bill paying needs, and most people actually just drop it because they cannot afford it. And as they get older, the premium gets higher. So most people actually drop their long-term care. So it's not an option except for the very rich, actually.
Well, I beg to differ.
I'm you think so?
I'm very versed on long-term care insurance.
You are.
Mm-hmm. In my magazine, Michael Yee is one of the local experts on long-term care mm-hmm. insurance. We've done several articles and interviews with him regarding long-term care insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And in our opinion, in our studying the 12 years of long-term care, it's really not for the rich, because the rich can afford to self-pay, mm-hmm. private pay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the middle class that really needs the long-term care insurance. Yes, the lower class may want to go on Medicaid, but the issue is going to arise 5 to 10 years from now, if not earlier, that they may need to care, but we don't have enough money. Hopefully they have a house. But the middle class is the one that really, really needs to understand that what's expensive.
It's very, you know? Expensive.
Here's how I put it. We had a discussion just the other day about this, is that expensive is expensive. I mean, what's expensive? It's all relative. Does everybody drive Toyotas, BMWs, Mercedes? No. It's what they can afford, what they want. The issue with long-term care is that it's not about how expensive it is, because my parents bought long-term care insurance at the age of 75. This is over 10 years ago. About 10 years ago. And they're paying $500 a month.
I know.
We've been public about that. We actually did a workshop at the Capitol three years ago about this. And he said it's expensive. Well, yes, $500 is expensive. But we talked about it last week.
Yeah, I have relatives who can't qualify because they are high risk.
Yeah.
They have conditions.
What we found also, people that have a financial advisor, 50% of them can't even qualify.
Yeah.
Because they have health issues.
Exactly.
You know. But it's not a point about expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's a point about when you need the care, how are you going to pay for that? That's really what it comes down to. So you may think $500 is expensive. Other people may say, well, $500 is something I got to bite the bullet on because I don't want to pay $5,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. So
it's 10 to 15,000 now.
Well, that's if you're
care.
Bedbound.
Yeah.
If you're bedbound. Mm-hmm. But assisted, you know, you need activities of daily living. Yeah, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 a month. I mean, last week we talked about the Veterans Long-Term Care Benefit Plan.
Mm.
That pays out about $25,000 for a veteran, $25,000 a year. And that's lifetime if they need minimal non-medical care.
Mm-hmm.
So if you listen to our show, go on our website, it'll be up there. But that's a very hidden plan. We just found out about it about 2 years ago. And I kind of took some time to vet the mm-hmm. program, because there are some people here locally trying to sell this, and I wasn't sure whether it was a legitimate program.
Mm.
Well, now the VA and AAA is aware of this program, and the one company that we have doing it right now is Interim Healthcare. If you had 90 days of active duty, at least one day of active war, you had to have been in the Army or Navy or any armed forces.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you had active war during one day, you qualify. But it's non-medical. It's so like at home,
mm-hmm.
minimal care, mm-hmm. Companionship,
mm-hmm.
but it's $25,000 a year
That's
for the life.
Bad.
So I think this is great. The $70 a day, but who do you think is really going to need the care?
It's it's families who are trying to keep their family, loved ones at home, or who those who cannot afford the long-term care facilities, because most people cannot, you know. Some people can afford to pay $10,000, $15,000 if they sell their homes, but a lot of people cannot afford to sell their homes because they need a home or they don't have a home, period. I mean, right. You know, the cost of housing in Hawaii is so expensive, right?
Well, I was telling people last month, I was talking to a group of people. I said, I really think Medicaid needs to tighten up their qualifications. You know, right now you're allowed to have a home with a net equity of $750,000. That's a lot of equity they can keep.
Mm-hmm.
That's a home that's worth $700,000 with no mortgage on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and still the financial side is $2,000 a year in assets for an individual and about $114,000 for a couple they can keep,
mm-hmm,
and still qualify for Medicaid. I really think they gotta tighten up a little bit more, because we're not going to have enough beds, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of great care homes in adult arches,
mm-hmm,
but that's not going to fill the void in the next 5 to 10 years.
Right, right, you know? Right. We're really going to see it, yeah.
So, Patrick, for FACE, what are you folks doing right now in the community?
Well, in the community, basically, is try to make more our congregation and the public more aware, to educate and realize that we do have a crisis and that we need to do something about it.
Yeah.
Because this is the only way that the public can create that legislative will to implement, you know, to pass this legislation, and the sooner the better, so that we can get started. And we just look this as a start. I sold insurance for 15 years, and I did sell long-term care insurance too. Mm-hmm. And I know the agents were against our first plan. And I used to tell my cohorts that, you know what, actually, this is just a small benefit. But the selling the concept and selling life insurance and disability insurance, it's all about planning ahead, which we don't do. Most people don't do. Nobody wants to talk about life insurance because they're not going to die tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
But you got to plan. So same thing with long-term care.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, if this thing passes, it's just a small program. But when they pass it and people start paying, and they're going to want to find out, oh, what does this do? What is the benefit of this? And they're going to say, well, this is not enough. Then the you know, long-term care with more benefits can come in and wrap around this thing. Because this is, you know, it's not like primary insurance versus, you know, if you have something else won't cover.
Mm-hmm.
So this, you know, people can come in with a wraparound later on or at the same time. So, but this will sell the concept that people need to plan ahead. And that's the key.
Well, hopefully, I mean, we're seeing more and more baby boomers taking care of their parents, and I am actually seeing more people talking about long-term care insurance,
mm-hmm,
as expensive as it may be.
Mm-hmm.
But just when people say expensive, it's all relative, because really, if you think about it, you're paying cents on a dollar to pay for, and that's what insurance is cents on a dollar to pay for care. You know, I was talking, we had one of our cover stories about a family. They had long-term care, and they needed to take care of their dad, and they bought long-term care insurance. And I said, well, can I ask why you bought it? He said, because I took care of his parents, and I knew it was a long battle, and we didn't want our kids to take care of us, so they bought long-term care insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so important that they were, mm-hmm, planning ahead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening out there and you're taking care of your parents, you better buy long-term care insurance. But I definitely see an uptick in locally here when people, mm-hmm, are looking at buying long-term care,
mm-hmm,
insurance. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think I saw a note here. Do you think it's going to create jobs here locally?
It will definitely create jobs, right? Because, you know, that on the average, I think if it's like housekeeping, it's about $20.
Mm-hmm.
And
an hour.
Yeah, an hour, yes. And if it's direct patient care, it's about $25. So this would provide jobs for those people who go to homes providing private care. Yeah.
So, Pastor, is FACE can do any more community outreach? You said to the congregation. Is there different congregations that you're talking about?
Yes. We have about 20 congregations here on Oahu. These are faith organizations, mm-hmm, congregations. So that's our primary link to the community. And then, of course, these people can go out and talk to their neighbors, their friends, and relatives. And this is primarily the way we do it. But I think with Caring Across Generation partnering up with us, it gives us a bigger spread. You know, we have the potential with using media, using other resources that they have to really get the word out and get us to be a stronger organization too. I think one of the things that we sort of worked on is that it's when people have their self-interests that they will commit with a passion. And so we like the personal stories when people tell them this, you know, they actually experience this, and to share that, because then it has meaning for more people. You know, it's sort of like the aha moment. Yay, that's what they're thinking and talking about. And the other thing, too, with insurance, long-term care insurance, once because the younger people are going to pay for all this, too. And the younger you are to get long-term care insurance, the better, because the premiums are going to be cheaper. So start now. Plan ahead. You know, you got a budget? Yes, you got a budget. But yeah. I think that's going to be the way to go.
Well, I'm 56, and I just got a quote from my agent, and it was about $1,800 to $1,900 a year. So is that expensive? I don't think so. So going forward, try not to use the word expensive, because that's how people think it is. Mm-hmm. When I tell people it's $1,800 to $1,900 a year, they go, well, that's not expensive. I thought it was expensive. So be careful when you say expensive, because it is expensive as you get older. Yes, $500 a month is a lot. But like I said, what's expensive? So is it $500 a month or $5,000 a month? Do they want to pay cents on a dollar or dollar for dollar? We really need to get that out there. If you want an expert on long-term care insurance, I have a whole stable of financial advisors I can get out there. But that's what needs to be out there, because it's very important to make people understand that it may be expensive to you, but it may not be expensive to somebody else. The bottom line is, when you need care, how is it going to be paid for? You know, very, very important. Mm-hmm. So, but and overall, where do you see this bill this year? Are you going to get it passed? Is it going to be next year?
So we've had two of the Senate committees pass it so far, the Commerce Consumer Protection Health, led by Russ Baker, and then Human Services, led by Suzanne Chan-Oakland. So both of those committees passed it. The last that it will go through is the Money Committee, which is Ways and Means, under the leadership of Joel Tukuda. And then it was from the House side, it was only passed by one committee. Yeah, Finance Committee. So it looks promising so far, but we'll see what happens. And that's why we're having this town hall meeting.
Talk about the town hall meeting before I forget.
Yeah, we're having a town hall meeting at Sacred Hearts Academy Auditorium on February 29.
That's this coming Monday.
Yeah, coming Monday. And registration starts at 5:30 p.m. And then at 6 p.m. the program starts. And we have invited all of our legislators from those committees that I had mentioned. And we want to put some pressure on them to really listen to our issue and have a hearing from the Ways and Means, or make a decision on it, and likewise for the Finance Committee on the House side.
So, guys, it's a long-term care meeting about the Senate bill
2478
at Sacred Hearts, 7 p.m. 6 p.m. at Sacred Hearts there on Wylie Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just show up, or do they have to RSVP?
If they are RSVP, it would be better, because we'll have food for them.
Oh, you have a phone number?
Here's the phone number.
Okay, so anyway, you can call me at 234-3117, or the RSVP number is 383-7581. That's February 29th at Sacred Hearts. Registration is 5:30. It starts at 6 o'clock there on Wylie. It's about long-term care. And so thanks to Caring Across Generations, Patrick from FACE, Clementina, Saria Ulep from University of Hawaii Nursing Department, thank you so much.
We're
going to have you back on. And, you know, we'll find out and get that article in the magazine, Generations Magazine, very, very soon. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much
anyway,
for having us.
Listening again, check out our website, generations808.com. Have a great weekend. Aloha, and live well.